Senate will come to order. Messages from the House.
March the 2nd, 2011, from the House of Representatives. Message number 484, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 103, Wichee Repayment Program. Ayes 55, noes 4, excused 1. House Bill 256, Wyoming Safe Homes Act 2. Ayes 42, noes 17, excused 1. House Bill 147, Excise Tax Vendor Compensation. Ayes 53, noes 6, excused 1. Message number 467, Joint Conference Committee Report adopted. Mr. President, Senate File 15, Court Jurisdiction. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 7, excused 1. Message number 488, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, Senate File 85, Game and Fish Violation Penalties. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 55, noes 4, excused 1. Message number 489, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, Senate File 146, Teacher Accountability Act. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1. Message number 490, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill number 74, Validity of Marriage. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 31, noes 28, excused 1. Message number 491, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. President, House Bill 174, Designated Transfer of State Lands. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, noes 1, excused 1. Message number 492, Conferees Appointed Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 95. The House conferees are Representative Shepperson, Chairman, Representative Childress, and Throne. Message number 493, conferees appointed Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 124. The House conferees are Representative McComey, Chairman, Representative Barbuto and Davidson, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Joint Conference Committee reports. Senator Coe, are you ready in regard to message number 427, Senate File 70? I'd ask that be read. Are you ready? Yes, go ahead and read that in, please.
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate File 70, Education Accountability. Reference House message number 427. Signing for the House, Representatives Teeters, Harshman, and Madden. Signing for the Senate, Senators Coe, Jennings, and Rothfuss.
You, Mr. President?
Go ahead, Senator Coe.
I would move Joint Conference Committee Report number 427, being original Senate File 70, Education Accountability. The House did see it our way eventually, and I would defer to Senator Rothfuss for an explanation of the Conference Committee Report.
Go ahead, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. You can see on your Joint Conference Committee report that it looks like we fared poorly, which is probably good for the House because they'll be able to explain this one away nicely. I'm going to go through the various amendments and the the ones that you see under the House amendments that were adopted turn out to be some pretty good amendments that clarify things and add to the scope of what's being done during the interim committee. So running through the first one, which had a few different variations to the bill that we sent over, was the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House 70. And it does a few things that you can see on page 1 of the conference report and page 2. The first thing it does is removes the writing component from the current pause test, which we discussed actually in our debate here. What they added, though, to compensate for some of our original concerns was the fact that they went on to develop a statewide summative writing assessment not to be included as part of the No Child Left Behind test and to be fully implemented in 2012 to 2013. So we had concerns that we were removing writing from the pause over here. They basically separated it from the pause and then called on the Department of Education to come up with a solution in the near term that basically meets everyone's needs. So we were satisfied that that was going to address the concerns that we had over here, Mr. President, while addressing some of the original concerns about the pause writing aspect. Mr. President, the Standing Committee also suggested that the Select Committee consider end-of-course assessments as part of the statewide summative assessment. This you'll see on page 2, where they note on page 27, line 6, and page 27, line 20, the amendments, which indicates that this end-of-course assessment may be considered as part of the body of evidence or summative assessment. And that's, again, going to be considered by the Select Committee as Senate File 70 moves forward. And the final thing that the Standing Committee did was to have the State Board review the body of evidence component of the school district assessments and propose potential improvements. You can see this on page 2 of the concurrence request. Actually, do you guys have the concurrence request? I'm not sure if that's on the... One second. No, you don't have that. You'd have to be looking at the previous one. But that was the final aspect of the Standing Committee number 1 that was accepted. Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 that we accepted just indicated that the Select Committee shall review the request for proposal to develop and implement the statewide summative assessment. The statewide summative assessment is currently being reviewed. Requests for proposals are going out to prepare a new version. And the simple amendment here was allowing the Select Committee to look at that request for proposal prior to sending it out, which is certainly a good amendment that the House suggested. Committee of the Whole Amendment number 2 suggested that the Select Committee review merit pay options. Again, there's no policy commitment here, just that the Select Committee look into merit pay options over the interim. Committee of the Whole Amendment number 3 shifts the number of legislators from each chamber on the Select Committee from 4 to 5, and that was accepted. Committee of the Whole Amendment number 4 and second reading amendment number 1, which modified that amendment, ended up leading to the Select Committee considering the need for training of school district boards, which was something that was discussed. So again, this is just an assignment for the Select Committee where they'll be looking into that as a possibility. There was some consideration and concern, Mr. President, of the fact that perhaps the school boards didn't have enough training and understanding of the key issues that they were voting on, and perhaps we could look into ways to remedy that. The third reading amendment, number 1, which was adopted by the conference committee, again, was just another detail for the Select Committee to look at during the interim, which is looking at student incentives to improve attendance and decrease dropout rate. What that basically does, Mr. President, is try and come up with more carrots and less stick, trying to identify ways that we can encourage students to stay in school and do well through some type of incentive. Again, it's just exploratory and doesn't necessarily bind us to any specific policy. So, Mr. President, those are the amendments that we accepted. The substantial amendment that we did not accept was the third reading House Amendment number 2, and it changed dramatically the bill, and that was the reason we really went to conference committee, was to make sure that we worked through this. It changed the way that we were going to look at and evaluate schools in Phase 1. It gutted a substantial portion of Phase 1, Mr. President, and we were unwilling to give in on that. We managed to come back with very little change to our original Phase 1, but you can see those changes reflected in the conference committee report at the bottom where there's some amendments to the engrossed copy. And what these amendments do is actually a good thing. It simply includes and extends what is being looked at during Phase 1 so that all of the pause reading data is being looked at for the schools, for the evaluation and assessment, rather than just readings for grades 3, 4, and 5. That was at the recommendation of the House. We over in the Senate agreed on that, and I feel, Mr. President, that the changes and the bill as it stands right now is actually an improvement, in fact, of what we sent over. And, Mr. President, I would certainly urge a favorable vote on concurrence and acceptance of the committee report. So everyone, please vote aye, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Rothfuss. Comments, questions in regard to this conference report? Senator Schiffer.
A question going back to the writing component. One of the things that we heard that seemed to concern is the length of time it took to take pause. Is the new direction we're going with the writing component, is that going to add time to the test or shorten time, or do we know yet? Could you give us a little more detail on that?
Senator Jennings, would you like to respond?
What we're hearing from the Education Department, Mr. President, is that they're doing a complete relook at the pause. And part of that is how they're going to assess the writing. We really don't know yet, but we do know that the focus is on it. And through the interim study, we'll have a better answer for you. But it's going to probably be shorter, but we really can't say that at this time. And just we're on it, we're watching them, and it's something that's going to be radically different than what we have now.
Are there other questions? Other questions before the conference committee responds? Seeing none, Senator Rothfuss, would you like to cap this thing off?
Just to further address the last point in question, Mr. President, there is some language in the amendment that tries to limit that scope to make it shorter, and it says specifically limited to one writing prompt in school year 2011-2012, the initial year of implementation statewide as a pilot assessment. And then it goes on to say that this is going to be separate from the No Child Left Behind requirement, so we can make sure that we're able to modify it over time without having to go back and get the whole thing reevaluated for compliance with No Child Left Behind. And then it further discusses the fact that that it will be administered at different times from the pause test, so it's sort of a separate time of the year because there is that consideration, Mr. President, about having just wearing out, which we talked a lot about, where the pause was so long and so taxing that students just got tired. So trying to have it temporally isolated from the pause test would help to take care of that, Mr. President.
Thank you. Question being called. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 in regard to Message 427 in reference to Senate File 70. You've been asked to vote aye. I'd ask the Chief Clerk to please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon. Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson, Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report in regard to message 427 in reference to Senate File 70. Senator Scott, are you ready in regard to message 322, House Bill 50? And I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Joint Conference Committee Report, House Bill 50, Health Insurance Exchanges, reference Senate Message Number 322, signing for the House, Representative Gingery and Harvey, signing for the Senate, Senator Scott, Jennings, and Nutting.
Go ahead, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move we do adopt the Joint Conference Committee report on House Bill 50, Health Insurance Exchanges, reference Senate Message Number 322, and I ask the Senate to vote no. Mr. President, what's happened here, this place sometimes moves pretty fast and surprises people, and the governor's office has had a concern all along here, and what happened on this one was the House had put in a steering committee that was a legislative steering committee on these health insurance exchanges, and Senate committee did a complicated thing that took it out for a while to the end of the existing federal grant, then honored what they were doing, and they didn't like that, and we argued with them. We rolled over. It wasn't that big a deal. The committee was going to be exactly the same people and just a nomenclature change, a change in the appointment of the chairman. And the governor's office has been trying to check this out with the feds for some time. Can't get a definitive answer because there's a grant, Mr. President, of $800,000 involved, and that was made as to an executive branch task force, and suddenly it becomes a legislative one, and there was concern that might violate some of the federal guidelines and we'd lose the money. And we're still having trouble getting a definitive answer out of the feds, but it looks like it would, in fact, take the money away. There's an easy technical fix. Mr. President, it's semi-technical. The House is willing. It wouldn't go along with us in the Joint Conference Committee, but now it is willing to go along with it, and we've checked it out with the leadership over there. So my recommendation is to vote no. We get the thing fixed. We'll have it back tomorrow morning all fixed up, and if they'd have listened to us a little better the first time, we'd have been all right. But they're willing to listen now, and it would be best to vote it down and bring it back. Mr. President, that's the long and the short of this one. It is an important bill because these insurance exchanges, we're going to have a tough decision to make in a few years. Are we going to participate in this at all or not? And they're complicated, and we'd better do it having had it thoroughly studied. So it's an important bill, but let's get it right. So I ask you to vote no.
Questions? Seeing none, the motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report in regard to message 322 in reference to House Bill 50. You have been asked to vote no. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout? Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel? Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Be about aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted, have failed to adopt Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 in regard to message number 322 having to do with House Bill 100 or House Bill 50. You have failed to adopt. Senators, on third reading, it's our practice to stay in our seats and not be distracted by the lobby. These votes that we're taking this afternoon are just as important as any third reading vote. I would urge you not to be distracted by the lobby. I would urge you to stay in your chairs, and I would say to our friends in the lobby that we would like not to be distracted while we're doing these very critical votes. We have two more conference committee, joint conference committee reports. Next joint conference committee report is in reference to message 378. That is Senator Bebout. Are you ready, Senator?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
Would you read that report in at this time, please?
Joint Conference Committee Report, House Bill 174, Designated Transfer of State Land, reference Senate Message Number 378, signing for the House, Representatives McComey, Gingery, and Laux, signing for the Senate, Senator Bebout, Geis, and Landon.
Go ahead, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the adoption of Joint Conference Committee Report to Senate Message Number 378 for House Bill 174. Members, and I've asked you to vote aye. Members of the Senate, you may recall this particular discussion. It involves a piece of land in Lander, Wyoming, that's presently owned by the WLRC, and they're in the process of trying to figure out a way to get that land sold to YDOT. The YDOT wants to utilize it for a shop and a facility there in Lander. And a couple of things that I want to reiterate, Mr. President, to the body is that this is, in fact, acquired lands. It is not trust lands. It's acquired lands, so you clearly can, under our statutes, have this sold at an appraised value. And, Mr. President, I will also point out to the members of the Senate rules and regulations that are in the procedures of our state lands office that under Chapter 25, Section 8, trade, sell, or relinquish to another entity for continued public use and selling at a public sale for fair market value after having provided public notice is clearly within it's in our statutes. It's also in the rules. Mr. President, what the amendment does, it deletes the Standing Committee Amendment that we had, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, that was involved in the bill in the Senate, and further amends. And what it does, Mr. President, adds the language, the Office of State Lands and Investments shall appraise a property described in subsection A of this section. Of course, that's a description of the legal description of the property at a value reflecting the property's highest, best use and the rest of its cleanup. Mr. President, I would ask that you support this. It sets up a mechanism to allow the WLRC to proceed in a sale to the YDOT. WLRC is in favor of this. YDOT wants to do it. As I mentioned earlier, the city of Lander is in favor of this. It's a way to try to implement and allow them to move forward on a facility they do need. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? Senator Case?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I hate to be the skunk in the room kind of thing, but this is my district, Mr. President. Mr. President, the Wyoming Life Resource Center has said that they are not opposed to the land sale if the restrictions on the deed to respect their unique nature are implied. They testified to that in the last time that they testified this, which was in committee, in the Agriculture Committee. They did not say we favor the YDOT deal above anything else. They testified that they were in favor of any deal where that was restricted. And that's, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, it's true that the City of Lander does support this. The arrangement that's been made is that the City of Lander will receive the maintenance facility sometime down the road, the existing maintenance facility. So they get a new maintenance shop out of the deal. YDOT would be able to build on the most best piece of property left in Lander, the absolute best piece. Now, let me ask you this. If you've lived in a community all your life, you've come down here and represented them, and then you believe that that community ought to have the right to grow and to determine, you know, kind of its own destiny, how would you feel if a state agency came in and wanted to put their maintenance facility right in the middle of that land? Think about it. The proposal that left the Senate was that that should be going to a public meeting and other people would be allowed to come forward and propose uses for that land. Public process, public auction, following the procurement laws specified for state lands. YDOT could certainly acquire their land because we actually said, you may even bid above appraised value. If you really want it, go for it. So nobody was hurt. They had that opportunity. And it was a way that kind of respected a community and didn't force this down their throats. And, Mr. Chairman, the city council doesn't necessarily always speak for the citizens of Lander. Sometimes people don't even, you know, they haven't even looked at other alternatives. And the mere fact that this arrangement is, you know, that there is a personal relationship between the chief engineer of YDOT and the representative bringing this is something that I think demands a higher level of scrutiny, and that demands that it go to public hearing and public auction. And if this doesn't pass this year, Mr. Chairman, it's not a problem, Mr. President, I'm sorry, because YDOT has indicated they don't intend to use this land for several years to come. So we have time to work on this, Mr. President. It's a problem all around the state with respect to state institutions and the land that is now so integral to the growth of those communities. And we might better take a step back and look at it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Bebout, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Very briefly, and my colleague from Fremont County is correct. This is in his district, not mine. Just three quick things, member of the Senate. First of all, there was a public process that was involved in this. They had public hearings at the city council. They, in fact, did it several times to be sure that they got the input from all the people of Lander to be able to understand exactly what was going on. And as far as other alternatives, I submitted to you an earlier testimony that YDOT has looked for 2 or 3 years to find a site that meets what they're concerned about and their needs, as well as what the WLRC wanted. And the last thing is, as far as a conflict between a member of the House and some of the works with YDOT, I had not heard that argument, but I want all of you to know that, yes, there is a relationship between the head of YDOT and a certain member of the legislature that represents Lander in the House.
Senator Case, go ahead, second time.
Mr. President, there has been no public hearing. There's been an open house. There's been no public hearing, and there have been no other proposals considered.
Question being called. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee number one in regard to message 378 in reference to House Bill 174. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, will please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Nope.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines? Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to adopt the Joint Conference Committee report on message number 378 in reference to House Bill 174. Senator Bebout, I'll talk to you later in regard to further action. Senator Scott, on House Bill 50, I neglected to announce the second conference committee on that. For the record, we'll appoint the same conference committee we had before, that being Scott, Nutting, and Jennings. Senator Hicks, are you ready in regard to Senate message number 299? I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
Joint Conference Committee Report, House Bill 74, Validity of Marriages. Reference Senate message number 299. Signing for the House, Representative Edmonds and Croker. Signing for the Senate, Senators Hicks and Nutting.
Senator Hicks, go ahead, please.
Mr. President, I would like to move Joint Conference Committee Report to House Bill 74 and do recommend an adoption that all members would say aye. With that, let me explain what we did. We did have four conference committee meetings on this particular bill. As the co-chair and the Senate representative on this, we did endeavor to the fullest extent possible to defend the position of the Senate. But I will tell you, members of the Senate, a 16-14 is not a really good point. And to capture something that the good senator from the Appropriations alluded to the other day, he said, you know, when we go in there, we want to defend the position of the Senate. But at the end of the day, you have to realize at some point you may have to move towards the midpoint. And I would contend that we were pretty darn close to the midpoint when we went to conference committee. But let me tell you what we ended up doing there. If you will take the conference committee report on the fourth report, on the conference committee concurrence on there, what we came out of there with House Bill 74 was, is while you look at that, it says it deleted all the following standing Senate amendments. We deleted that, and then we started back over with the second reading amendment to House Bill 74 in the Senate. Basically struck the whole second portion of that. If you'll go down to the end of that where it says page 2, line 13 through 23, that deleted all that new section on the null and void of marriages. And that was consistent with what the Senate had done. In our second reading, that was the Myers Amendment. So for all practical purposes, that piece of the Senate position was preserved in the conference committee. That's all been deleted. The compromise position that we ended up with on there that we could not agree on was this. The House's version of what they wanted on was no subsection C, which is the third reading amendment that we adopted in the Senate here that dealt with, and I'll explain the exact language so we're all together on which amendment that was. That was the Driscoll-Rothfuss-Nicholas Amendment. And basically what that did is say under a new subsection C that we adopted that parties to a domestic or legal civil union lawfully entered into in another state, commonwealth, territory, district or possession of the United States or a foreign nation, which are not recognized as marriage under the laws of Wyoming, shall be entitled to access of the courts of the state for the purpose of resolving disputes that arise out of their domestic or their other legal civil unions. This was the hang-up in conference committee, and the House would not budge on that particular provision. So where we ended up with as you've got in front of you, is the conference committee report, is we ended up striking that language. And if you go back to the original version, the engrossed version that came over from the House, what this bill now does is it has one thing, and I want to make one thing real clear to the folks in the Senate here, is this only deals with the 20-1-111 of our statutes. Under that existing language, that is the provision that recognizes foreign marriage only. It doesn't deal with all the other issues. Under the new language that come over in the gross version, they added a new subsection A and a new subsection B. And basically what that subsection does is says that we recognize all marriages from wherever they're performed as long as they are consistent with what Wyoming's definition of marriage is. And that definition, if you go back to 20-1-101, basically says marriage is a civil contract between a man and a woman. So what you have before you here is basically a bill that says... Let me back up just a little bit. We have a little bit of a paradoxical situation with our current language because when this was adopted in 1876, it never viewed or anticipated the social setting that we have today.
It just never came into their comprehension. So we have two laws, one that defines marriage, which is 101, and one defines what Wyoming will do under 111 with foreign marriages, but we never anticipated to where we're at today. Didn't exist. So what this bill basically tries to do is deal with those marriages outside the state of Wyoming, whether they be foreign country, territory, or state, and basically tries to provide some conforming languages that we no longer have this discrepancy within our own statutes. It says we have 101 that says this is what marriage is. Now 111 will say, look, we recognize all marriages as long as they conform to our state statute 101. Members of the Senate, that's what we have before you. I would stand for any questions.
I'd like a ruling from the chair on the constitutionality of this bill. As the bill came over in the first place, and my understanding is unengrossed, the title of the bill, which is the part below the bill, not just where it says validity of marriage, that's just a name that's put on it. The official title of the bill dealt with those marriages which are void. Void is mentioned three times in the original title of the bill. Part of what the Joint Conference Committee did was they don't use void at all in here. They talk about what marriages are valid. They talk about exactly the opposite of what the original intent of the bill was and what the original title of the bill was. Mr. President, I liken it to the idea of saying that you're dealing with a bill dealing with driver's licenses and say nobody who drives with an alcohol content over 0.08 shall be legally driving a vehicle, operating a vehicle on a public highway, and then turning around from the coming from the Joint Conference Committee and saying anybody who is over 16 and has a license is authorized to operate on it. I think you're going exactly the opposite of what the title of the bill called for in the first place. And I'd like a ruling from the chair, and failing that, I'd like a meeting of the Rules Committee, please. Mr. President, I'd like a meeting of the Rules Committee in that this bill violates the original title of the bill, please.
Absence of description is void.
What's that?
Absence of description is void. You say this is what is okay. Everything else is void.
Yeah, well, it was the Senate amendment that stripped that out of there. So why didn't he bring that up in the second reading and the third reading? All right.
The Rules Committee advises the President that the report meets the requirement of the Wyoming Constitution, Article 3, Section 20, in that we, the Rules Committee, find that the report does not so alter or amend the original purpose of the bill. Senator Rothfuss.
I would like to object, actually, on the outcome of the conference committee adherent or pursuant to Joint Rules 2(1)(b)(3), which indicates that the proposed alternative must reflect a compromise position of an issue on which the two houses have adopted conflicting amendments, provided the compromise lies between the positions taken by the two houses. Mr. President, I'm not convinced that this compromise lies between the two houses, and I'd like a ruling on that as well, Mr. President.
I would call on the majority floor leader, a member of the Rules Committee, for a response in that regard.
Mr. President, what was raised here by the good senator from the Ivory Towers was not the question posed to the Rules Committee. The question was whether or not this proposed report violated our constitutional provision, Article 3, Section 20, with regards to so altering a bill as to change its original purpose. That was the ruling and the only ruling that the Rules Committee made.
Well, then he needs to make a...
Mr. Chairman, then if he wishes to make a new objection or a new objection to that, objection. That is a separate motion, but that's not the motion that was posed to the Rules Committee.
Senator Rothfuss, if you wish to rise to that, then that would
okay.
be...
Mr. President, my apologies for being a little bit confusing on that. It was an independent motion on that, and it's an independent motion to object based on the grounds that this ruling is not between, or excuse me, this conference committee report does not lie between the conflicting amendments of the two houses, Mr. President.
So, Senator Rothfuss, are you asking that the Rules Committee then meet again in regard to that point?
Yes, Mr. President.
Senate Rules Committee will meet in my office. Senate will be at ease until such time as resolved that point.
We talked about it.
Thank you.
Senate will come back to order. The Rules Committee does advise the President, the Chair, that the language within the report does meet the requirements within Rule 2-1B3 and is appropriate, was an appropriate action on the part of the Joint Conference Committee 1, and it does fall within the two positions. Discussion continues. Question being called. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee report in regard to message number 299 in reference to House Bill 74. Recommendation is that we vote, that you vote aye. The chief clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
No.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Martin.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss. Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Von Platern.
No.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 14 ayes, 16 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to adopt Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on message 299 in reference to House Bill 74. We'll do this tomorrow. We can talk about it. Is there any other business? Let's just do them tomorrow. There's how many of them is there? Three. Let's just do them tomorrow. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears our desk for the afternoon.
I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, March 3rd.
Are there announcements? Just a minute. Go ahead, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, the newly appointed conference committee on House Bill 50, the health insurance exchanges, will meet with our House counterparts in the vicinity of the House lobby as soon as they're appointed in the morning.
Senator Meyer.
Yes, Mr. President, your conference committee on Senate File 95, legislative committee memberships, we'll meet in about 5 minutes in 204.
Senator Esquibel.
President, Conference Committee on Senate File 124 will meet immediately upon adjournment in House Number 10. That's the Travel Committee room, immediately upon adjournment. Thank you.
Other announcements? Seeing none, you've all heard the motion. Senate will stand adjourned until 10 o'clock. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. That motion is carried, and the Senate will stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, March 3rd.